Very happy to have with us right now Gil Brandt. He is, of course, the godfather of the NFL, NFL.com, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, you name it. And, of course, former architect of the Dallas Cowboys, great teams of the 1970s. Gil, as we look at this draft, your thoughts about all the jockeying for position that could be going on, especially where Browns fans are concerned in that upper tier?
Well, Vic, let me first of all start saying this, April is probably National Liars Month in the National Football League when it pertains to the draft. You know, through the years, you'll see the famous deal that Chuck Knox and Dick Vermeil, when they both lied to each other because they both wanted the guy that the other guy was going to draft.
Right.
And so consequently, don't pay a lot of attention to what happens. Positioning, I think a lot of people are trying to position themselves. You know, as an example, people think that Minnesota moving out of the third spot. I don't think that's going to happen simply because of the fact that who are they going to take and who's going to move up there to do the taking is what it amounts to. So a lot of posturing during this period of time. You know, let me also say this to the Browns fans. Between Mark Whipple and Brad Childress, they have been everywhere, and they have done, and also the head coach, have been every place looking at players. And so I think that whatever their choice is, it is not going to be a unresearched player or a fly-by-night pick, so to speak. It's going to be one that everybody within the organization knows just about everything in the world about, and a very good selection should be made with that said.
And, Gil, it seems like when you really look at what they could do, if nothing changes as far as the draft position, no trade is made, at 4 and at 22, it almost seems to come down to if you want to go at offense and difference-making player at 4, maybe you go with a Trent Richardson, get your quarterback at 22 with Brandon Whedon, perhaps, or you decide that you don't want to wait as long as 22 to get your quarterback, so possibly a Ryan Tannehill becomes the option at 4, and then at 22 you can decide that that's where you want to go with a running back. And I guess isn't it just down to weighing the depth at those positions to see what kind of quality you have the further you move down?
Well, Vic, as usual, you're right. when you say that, the thing you took into consideration is that let's say that you use the 22nd pick for something other than a quarterback, and you take Ryan Tannehill with that first pick. Now, what you're asking yourself is, if I take Tannehill with that first pick, will I get that kind of a player in value in the second round or near value? No, the answer is no. If I don't take Richardson in the first round, and I take instead I opt for Wilson of Virginia Tech or the Miami running back or the Martin of Boise State, there's not a lot of difference between those two. Richardson's a really good player, but so is Martin, and so is Wilson. So I think those are the things you take into consideration. The same way with wide receivers. If I don't take one of the two wide receivers, Blackman from Oklahoma State or the Notre Dame wide receiver, do I fall off a great deal when I get to the second round? No, I don't think you do. So that's what makes this draft so interesting, and all drafts so interesting, but I think probably this one more so than ever, because I don't think there's as many clear-cut guys at the top of the draft as there was last year. But I do think that the 40th player, the 45th player that you get in the draft this year is going to be a better player than the 40th or 45th player you got last year.
Gil Brandt from NFL.com and SiriusXM NFL Radio joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gil, you know all these players very well. I know you research them closely. I know you have particularly deep knowledge about Ryan Tannehill. Help explain why those who would question his value at that upper tier of the draft because of the lack of playing experience should look at something else. What are the qualities that this guy has that could override what he lacks in experience?
Well, you know, Vic, I think that everybody sees players differently. I feel comfortable with what I'm going to say about Tannehill, and I'm going to start this way. He is the only player that we can find in history that has beaten Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas in the same season, and he did so in a manner of six games. The one knock on him is that a lot of people didn't know a lot about him because he only started six games last year. And when I say last year, I should say 2010, and won five of the six games. And the team did not have a good year this year. As an example, Tannehill had more drops than any other quarterback in college football this past year. You know, that tells you that the receivers weren't playing very good. You know, when it comes to movement, he was blitzed 120 times during the season and was sacked twice. Griffin was blitzed about 70 times and sacked five times. So it tells you he has athletic ability. And I think that the show that he put on for everybody at his pro day at Texas A&M recently, where he completed 65 of 68 passes and one hit the ground as a bad pass, two of them were dropped, I think that tells you a little bit about his accuracy is what it does. So I am a big Tannehill fan because he's got athletic ability. He's very, very bright. And I think that he is, with coaching, with NFL coaching, I think he has a chance to be a really good player. Now, saying all that, I also felt the same way about Colt McCoy.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't think Colt McCoy is a throwaway. I think if you put players around Colt McCoy will win just like he has in the past in high school and at the University of Texas.
No, and I know how bullish you are on McCoy and have been for a long time, and that does lead to the other topic. If it does come down to the Browns saying, okay, Colt is our guy, and I think all indications are that even if they were to draft a quarterback and probably hope that he wouldn't have to be put on the field right away, and you're going with McCoy, you make McCoy better by adding people around him. So those people, in the eyes of a lot of Browns followers, have to be wide receivers. Does this draft give the Browns enough of an opportunity wherever they make those picks, say in the first round or first 37 picks, to find those kind of difference makers, Gil?
Yeah, it does. Now, Vic, I want you to remember one thing. Wide receiver position is probably the second hardest position to come in and play quickly. I think quarterback is the hardest, and I think wide receiver is second, simply because wide receivers aren't used to being jammed at the line of scrimmage. They're not used to seeing all the different coverages that they have to adjust to. And so historically, we look and see how many wide receivers really prosper the first year. Green was an exception last year at Cleveland. Very seldom do we have first-year receivers go to the Pro Bowl. We've had times where first-year receivers that caught 41 and 43 passes have led the rookie group in receiving. So it to me, it's not a position that you're assured, no matter who it is, that you're going to come in and get really a great performance out of initially. And I think that as you go around this league, you see that. You see players that become second- and third-year players. I think a good example is Thomas at Denver. You know, Thomas came into the league, didn't do much.
Right.
And then last year put Pittsburgh out of the playoffs with a great run and catch, you know, is what he did. So, but I have this. Let me add this. You know, I have a great deal of respect for Tom Landry. I have equal respect for Mike Holmgren. I think that as a decision maker, there aren't many better ones than him.
That's a heck of a compliment coming from you. The last thing, Gil, as far as offensive line goes, right tackle is a clear position of need after this team parted ways with Tony Pashos, and they've got to find the answer there. Is the answer something that you can get from this draft beyond Matt Khalil?
Yeah, I think that there's some other offensive tackles in this league. There's a player by the name of Allen at Illinois that I think has a chance to be a good right tackle. I think if you Riley Reiff at Iowa has a chance to be really good. No, I think that there's good right tackles. Now, it's different, Vic, when you talk about left tackles.
Right.
But the Browns have the best left tackle in the league, in my estimation, in Joe Thomas, who was the third overall player picked in the draft. And that's probably where Matt Khalil will go this year.
Oh, okay. Well, great stuff, Gil. As always, we appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you in New York at the draft.
Always a pleasure, Vic. Thank you.
He is the one and only Gil Brandt joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.